This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann. We're speaking with agricultural expert Mark Longstroth. He's an educator with the Michigan State University Extension. Based in Pawpaw, he specializes in, among other things, fruit crops. Longstroth tracks their progress throughout the state. We spoke about this season's prospects, what happens when the supply of fruit outstrips demand, and the health of the region's honeybees. Predictions are tricky, I'm sure. I don't know how much you can say in advance about what the fruit crops are going to look like in a season. What can you say at this point about how things are looking for this year?
Oh, right now, most of the fruit crops look really good. We had another really cold winter, and it caused injury to mostly wine grapes and peaches and some injury to blueberries, but it didn't hurt the apples or the cherries particularly a great deal. Generally, Lake Michigan protects us from cold air coming across the lake, but sometimes we get cold air coming in from the southwest, so the southwest Michigan here doesn't get quite as much protection sometimes. And we got down to minus 20 in January and in February, so that was twice, and generally wine grapes and peaches and blueberries don't like it if it gets down below minus 10. So we have seen some damage there. We didn't have any spring frost that caused us any damage, so generally bloom has been pretty productive for us, and that varies quite a bit across the state. You know, we're just finishing, we have finished the bloom of the tree fruits, the cherries and the apples and the peaches down here in the southwest, but they're still in bloom up around Traverse City. And if we get nice, warm, sunny days, the bees really like that, and they come out and work the blossoms real hard, so we get a good fruit set. And if we get cold, wet, windy days, the bees don't like that, and they stay in the hive. The flowers have to be pollinated within a day or two of when they open, generally, to set fruit. But here in southwest Michigan, it looks like we're going to have a pretty good apple crop. We'll have more peaches than we had last year. We'll still have plenty of blueberries. We produced the fifth largest crop that we had ever produced last year, and I thought that we had significant injuries, so I expect that we'll do quite well with blueberries. And cherries, they're worried about having too many cherries now, so it's a nice worry to have.
They're worried about having too many cherries?
Yeah, too many cherries. Fruit responds to the law of supply and demand, so if you have more cherries than they want, the price will go down. If you don't have enough cherries for what they want, then the price will go up and people will look for cherries. In cherries, we have a marketing order, a federal marketing order, and they will look and see what the market for cherries is going to be, maybe 500 million, and then try to estimate the crop. And they will try to, they have what they call a diversion where a grower can say, okay, I'm not going to harvest these cherries, and he'll get a diversion certificate. And let's say for the sake of argument that they decide that they're not going to harvest 10% of the crop here in Michigan. And so that means that all the growers would normally not harvest 10% of their crop. But there'll be growers that want to harvest 100% of their crop, and there'll be other growers that'll be quite happy to harvest nothing and get diversion certificates and then sell those to the people that it's really a complicated market. But that's too many cherries means that I might not be able to harvest them all because I might have more than the market needs.
We had some cold weather the night of May 19th over to the 20th. Did that have any effect on the fruit crop?
Oh, no. Perhaps up in the Traverse City area where they're still in bloom. We were really lucky. We got down just to around freezing, but very few places went below freezing. The flowers and the green fruit generally aren't hurt by temperatures at freezing. It's temperatures below freezing, and the magic number for me is about 29 degrees. When you get to 29 degrees, you expect to see some injury. When the plants just first start to grow, when they're at swollen bud, and you look at them and think, oh, you know, I can tell that they're starting to grow, they can generally take temperatures down below 20 degrees or much lower without any damage. But by the time you see the flower buds coming out, then 25 degrees will generally hurt them. And then 28 is the magic number for bloom. And so 28 would kill like maybe 10% of the open apple or cherry blossoms, and 25 would kill almost all of them. And we didn't get down to 28 any time this year. We had a really cold freeze and got down to around 29 degrees at the beginning of May, end of April, and I was quite pleased that we skated through then. It didn't hurt the magnolias or the apricots or the sweet cherries that were in bloom then. So we've had really good conditions, and we've been pretty lucky, like I say, that we've had generally when each of our fruit crops bloom, we've had a spell of warm weather when the bees can get out and work. So that's why they're worried about too many cherries, and that's why they feel good about peaches, and they feel good about apples.
You mentioned bees. Beekeepers across the U.S. reported losing more than 40% of their colonies over the last year, I think April 2014 to 2015. And Michigan, from what I see, did a little better than its neighbor states. The average loss was below 30%, but that still sounds like a lot of honeybees lost. Is that an issue for Michigan tree fruit?
Yes and no. I mean, we managed to get lots of hives. The person that works with beekeepers said that our losses were down, considering the cold winter, that our losses were down. Most of the losses that occurred last year occurred during the season. A huge part of that was during the season for various reasons. So the growers pay a beekeeper to come in and bring in a set number of hives, so many per acre. Like in blueberries, we recommend 1 to 2 hives for every acre of blueberries. And the grower is going to pay the beekeeper anywhere from $50 to $60, $70 for each hive. And so that's a major source of income. The beekeeping business is quite complicated. After last year's winter, most Michigan beekeepers leave a few hives here in Michigan, and most of them go to Florida. And in Florida, they build their hives up. They will often split them and make 2 hives out of 1 by getting a new queen and putting it in half of the colony. And then the ones that weren't split will go to California to pollinate almonds, and then they all come back here to Michigan. We've had really strong hives in general. In the last 2 weeks, I've had 3 calls from people who have swarms of bees that have settled down in their yard, and they're trying to find somebody to get rid of them. And generally, those swarms are coming from a commercial hive that was really strong and thought things are really great. You know, we're here in the middle of a big apple orchard that's in full bloom. We got lots of bees. We got lots of food. Let's make another hive. And they'll fly off and look for a place. And the beekeeper's quite excited about that because he wants to keep that hive. So you try to figure out who's got the closest orchard and call them and find out who their beekeeper is, and then call the beekeeper and tell them that there's a swarm at such and such a place. And they'll show up with a hive, and the swarm is sending out scouts to look for another hive, and they find this really nice hive sitting next to them, so they'll move into it. And the beekeeper has another hive. So the fact that they're splitting means that the hives as they come in here are fairly strong. An awful lot of the hives that spend the season will spend their summer here in Michigan in areas where there are lots of flowers, wildflowers, during the summer, or pollinate summer crops like squash, pumpkins, and other things that need to be pollinated.
Do you have an issue in this part of the state in southwest Michigan with, I believe it's called colony collapse disorder? I hope I'm not confusing things there.
No. I'm not aware of, and colony collapse disorder is where the colony, most of the workers just disappear. I'm not aware that we have a big problem with that here in Michigan. Of course, now someone will call in and say, you know, I had it happen to me, or I had it happen to me. We're more concerned about using pesticides safely in the orchard when we've got bees in the orchard, because we've paid, you know, like I say, $60-$70 per hive to bring these bees in, but it's rainy and now I have to put a fungicide on. And so we've spent a fair amount of time talking about pesticides and pesticide safety. A lot of people blame pesticides for this colony collapse disorder, but it looks like it's really a result of multiple stresses that are on the bees, the fact that they get moved around a lot, and there are viruses and there are mites in the hive that spread the viruses. And so it seems like it's a combination of multiple factors that are just too many stresses on the bees and the colony.
It sounds though like if you are going to be treating with a pesticide, you do have to be somewhat careful around honeybees.
Oh yeah, very careful. Generally, you know, we don't want them to use any insecticide, anything that would kill an insect. There are a few that are used during bloom, and they're certified as bee safe, but even those we don't want to use. We don't want to spray any kind of pesticide at all when the bees are out actively foraging, so we will put the sprays of fungicides on early in the morning or late in the evening or even at night when the bees are in their hives so they're not exposed. Even if they're sprayed with something that's relatively harmless when they're flying around, it'll knock them down and they might not get up depending on what's in the spray. It's not necessarily the pesticide, but perhaps some of the other things that were mixed in the spray. We call them surfactants that make the spray spread out. Bees are coated by a waxy cuticle. That's how they keep the water in. And if I hit them with a detergent or a penetrating oil, that's not good for them. So we've really stressed the last couple of years that, you know, if you have to spray, let the beekeeper know and do it during the hours when the bees aren't actively foraging.
Mark Longstroth of the MSU Extension, thanks so much for your time.
You bet.
Mark Longstroth is an educator with the Michigan State University Extension. We spoke about the state of this year's fruit crops. By the way, Longstroth says local strawberries should be hitting Southwest Michigan markets soon. WMUK's full interview with Longstroth is on our website, wmuk.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann.